This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
If I were you, here's what I'd do. I'd send those cues to if I were you. Maybe they'll help, maybe they'll just make fun of you. If only I were you.
Whoa.
Nice riff.
How about da? Kevin?
That is nice.
Thoughts?
I'm going to give it a solid B minus.
Solid B minus.
You could have just not said minus.
You're doing well.
Why'd you say minus? Like a solid also, B would have been nice.
Because if I'd given a B plus, then he wouldn't have tried next time.
There's nothing really solid about a minus either, right?
Like solid
it's 80 through 83, really.
But yeah. I'd say that minus sign is solid as a board. It's this is straight. Line. Unbreakable.
I remember in school I was so thrilled with a B minus. What were your average grades?
I wanted an A minus.
You wanted an A minus?
I wanted the 90.
You liked the 90.
I really needed the 90.
Kevin?
More.
I imagine me in college, in high school and middle school, I was homeschooled, so
homeschooled.
Grades were kind of an abstract idea.
Did you get
altogether.
Them ever?
Yeah, I mean, I transferred to public school in junior year of high school.
But, like, who taught you at home?
Kind of my parents, kind of these videotapes we would order out for, and then I would just watch them.
Mom or dad ever just, like, give you an F? You're, like, sitting at dinner, and you got it. You're like, you got an F today, Kevin.
Yeah, that would happen sometimes. It wasn't schoolwork related. It was just a holistic judgment of me as a person.
I'm so curious about homeschooling. Like, you will roll up to junior year of high school.
Junior year of high school. I was 14 because I skipped a few grades.
And then were you like, this is
normal? Your parents were like, actually, you're very bright, Kevin.
Yeah, exactly.
You're now a ninth grader.
Well, I went to public school for fourth grade, and I was like, nah, this sucks. I'm doing homeschool again. But instead of fifth, I'm doing seventh grade because I thought I could do it. And then I did. But then again, like the curriculum was just this whirling dervish of kind of sampling of education. And my mom was never big on education as an idea.
Interesting.
Or college. She's kind of opposed to that.
Where are you from?
This is in Houston, Texas, growing up.
I'm so surprised. I've known you for years, and I had no idea. I didn't know you were from Texas.
Grew up in Houston, Texas. Born in Oklahoma with also a fellow homeschoolers, Hanson.
Oh.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma.
They were homeschooled as well.
They were all homeschooled as well.
And they turned out all right.
They're doing great. I think we should all, I'm not kidding, we should strive to be Hanson.
They make beer now. M-Hops.
M-Hops
really?
Is the big beer. Yeah.
That's a funny.
And they all still tour, and they own their whole catalog. They didn't get screwed over by publishers. They love each other. They seem to be having a great life.
How'd you like 11th grade?
11th grade, I enjoyed a lot. I enjoyed
14-year-old
senior year
Kevin walks into school.
Hey.
I got this.
Yeah,
everybody's 17. You're 14.
Well, I just quickly joined up with the theater group.
Got it.
In that department, and then it
grabbing
was
onto them.
From there.
Got
That's
it.
Right. Yeah, they were all weirdos too.
Pre-calc, you're like walking into a pre-calculus class. You're like, I got this. I watched the videotapes.
Oh,
like,
well,
I'm
that was
up.
A strange thing because I was buddies with the guy who was my math teacher. in high school, but we were friends before because we knew each other from church from years and years before.
And then you get to school and he's your teacher.
Yeah, so it went from, hey, Rex, how's it going, Rex, to Mr. Wolf, I have a... So it was a strange power dynamic.
And he's just like, what, 7 years older than you?
Yeah, he was probably a little bit older than that, but he was a younger teacher. Yeah.
And you were fine. You slid right in. You got good grades, and it was fine.
It was totally fine. It was a weird setup though, where I may not have technically graduated high school ever, and we're not sure. I did graduate college.
And you went to University of Texas at Austin.
UT in Austin. Yes. That's right. Home of South By.
That's. I
home
that's
of the Alamo Draft House. Devin Faraci.
That was a cool city to go to school in.
It was great, except I wasn't there when I was legally of drinking age.
That's right, you were 15.
You were 16
so I didn't
and a half.
Go to bars and stuff. Because my last year on campus there, I was 19 years old.
Wow, yeah. This is such a fascinating, interesting
Kevin's
thing.
Kevin's 22 now.
Yeah, I'm still 20. Gosh, I wish. But it is something where, like, so I've been watching that Pin 15 show on Hulu.
Love it.
Which is terrific.
I love it.
Right? It's so good. But it's, like, very tied to, oh, this is seventh grade. This was the year 2000. Gel pins, blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
And, like, it's so tied to, oh, I remember my seventh grade was like this. I have no memory whatsoever of
did you
like
have AOL and AIM
seventh
and all that
grade
stuff?
Versus eighth grade. I definitely
grade
had the AOL AIM
tape.
Stuff.
Yeah.
AOL AIM, I feel like, was our first Twitter. It was a proto Twitter, and we don't talk about that enough. Like the away messages you could leave there.
That's right.
It's true.
The buddy icon. Icon could have been like the first versions of GIFs.
Don't you feel like in some ways, like texting your friends has replaced AIM?
We were talking about that like an episode or two ago, where like you used to have to sign on and receive the message. Or you would never see it.
Yeah.
Right. I miss those days where I could be like, you know what? I'm out. I'm unreachable.
Yeah.
It's having a phone you're on like, you're signed into 10 different AIMs that you can't sign out of ever.
Well, which is why I'm glad I'm here to plug my new AIM phone that I have been developing.
So I would.
Sidekick.
Yeah, can you imagine?
I would love it. I would be so in.
And it's all the graphics are of that time.
That's
too.
Right.
It's like little 8-16-bit graphics and you have away messages.
And when you log on, it does the door opening noise. And when you log off, it does the door closing noise.
Wait, do you have an impression of that?
Yeah.
Yes, good.
Poof. Poof, poof. Poof, poof. Somebody logging out in your face just ends the conversation.
Gosh, I remember flirting on AIM a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That was when a lot of it was happening.
It was exciting.
Like, anytime you were talking to somebody on AIM at 2 a.m., you would fall in love with them for, like, 2 hours.
It's just basic science.
Yeah.
There was one girl I remember these very specific messages we sent to each other where she was much older. But we had crushes on each other, so it was like, no, we can't.
She was
wrong.
Your math teacher, too, right?
She was my math teacher, Mrs. Wolf. Married to Rex.
Wow.
Should not have happened. But I remember, I must have been like 12 or 13, and I remember sending her a message that said, oh, if only I was 17.
Wow. Because you're 17 and I'm 16.
Yes, it was such lament. The age gap was like, you know, because at that time, a 5 or 6 year age gap is... weird.
Yeah,
and criminal. Most of the time.
Illegal.
Where now it's encouraged. We want at least a 5 year age gap.
Yeah, we smile upon it. We don't frown upon it. All right, what is this? This is an advice podcast.
You got to tell, where is this that guy's song?
Wow, good memory. How did we completely gloss over it?
I forgot.
And now it's gone forever.
Grades.
Yeah, I can never find it again. It's gone.
Cool.
Well,
thanks
forever.
Thanks for the song, man.
Found it. It's Carson Fleischman. If you end up playing it, please direct your listeners to my Instagram, @thisiscarson, so they can see pictures of my cat, Mr. Jeff.
Hey, and make sure you give Mr. Jeff a solid B+ when you see pictures of him in the comments.
Carson Fleischman. All right, that's easy.
That sounds like a made-up cool guy name.
Yeah,
This is Carson, that's it?
Yeah, yes, this is Carson.
Wow.
You got Johnny, you got Daly, and now you got Fleischman.
Kevin, do you have... a sibling? Do you have a sister?
I got a brother and a sister, one of each.
Okay, great. They were homeschooled as well?
They were for a little bit. They went to public school at different times, so.
Got it.
Okay. Hey, here's the cat.
Mr. Jeff?
It's a good-looking cat.
That's a nice-looking cat.
Give it a like.
I'll say that cat is...
Smash that like button.
That's an A. That cat's an A.
Give the cat daps.
That cat is an absolute A.
Double taps. So this is a...
Kevin, do you have a cat?
I wish. I can't have pets at my place. I would probably have a little doggo, though, if I could.
You're more of a dog than a cat.
Yeah, I remember. Do you remember there was a brief time I was dog sitting, and I would bring him here?
That's right.
A lot. Little Buster.
Yeah.
He moved to Texas. I want to say it wasn't because of me, but I can't totally say that it wasn't because of me.
You're saying you gave him such a hard time, he had to move halfway across the country?
I think he felt a little smothered.
Wow.
By my huggies and kissies.
And then who took them to Texas?
That was his true owners and parents, Andy and Patrick.
Yeah, and they were looking for the dog for quite a long time.
When I say dog sat.
You dog napped.
Yeah, there was a sat, napped, it's all the same.
Dog nap sounds very cute.
Mm-hmm.
But it means to steal a dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas kidnap does not sound cute.
But a catnap is cute. A catnap's adorable. Nap is cute. But is that also the words for stealing a cat?
Yes. Catnap.
So catnap means I'm having a nice little snooze by myself or I'm stealing a cat.
Well, I don't know if you've met a cat, but you got to wish they're snoozing before you can even take them.
Yeah, I've never.
What about a power nap? Is that stealing power?
It must be, right?
I think so.
That's what every evil person does in a Marvel movie, is a
3-hour nap. That's when you steal someone's time and waste it by making them listen to your podcast.
This is Power Nap. All right, we're talking about adopting a dog. Why don't we answer a question from a lady who has a question about adopting a dog. Do you have a name for this lady, Kevin?
Yeah, let's call her Hezabella.
Hezabella, right.
Hezabella's a pretty name.
It's not bad.
I like
it. Listen, you can have it.
And my friend adopted a dog on Wednesday, and he's staying with me until she can convince her roommate to let her to have him at her place. First night, he peed and marked all over the carpets, which I'm super annoyed about, but I'll give it a pass since he was drugged up after getting his balls chopped off.
Jesus.
Second night, he lunged at me and my 4-pound chihuahua, so I'm keeping them in separate rooms for the baby's safety.
That's too small of a dog.
Today is the third day, and I'm at my wit's end. He almost attacked my cat. And then when I got home from school, I found that he destroyed my window blinds. I'm a poor college student who lives alone, so I thought I was doing a nice favor for a friend, but I don't own any of the furnishings, so he is now destroying my apartment's property. I fear for my very expensive safety deposit, but also my friendship. I don't want to ruin anything I have with my good friend, and I can't stand this dog anymore. I feel like I'm completely... complete care of a psycho dog, and she just gets to come over and enjoy the fun parts. So how do I go about getting rid of this dog while still staying friends with this person? How do I tell my apartment that he's done damage without getting evicted? P.S. Not that it matters on the breed, but it's a 2-year-old pit bull mix and a solid 50 pounds. Thanks, guys.
God. It feels like body shaming at the end there.
Hezzily.
You know, Hezzily. It's like when old people specify a race in an anecdote. Right. Where it's
not that it matters, but he was Hispanic.
Yeah, it's like, no, it doesn't matter.
He was Asian, the dog.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't think she should be worried about getting evicted for damage. I feel like your landlord, unless they're a psycho, would be amenable to that. Especially if you have a good track record with your own pup.
Have you guys dog sat a lot?
I've only done it with two. I've done it with three dogs in the past couple of years.
That's pretty good.
So I guess a good amount.
Any of them bad?
I've fostered.
Any of them bad? Any bad apples?
Well, little Paddington, the Pomeranian, did pee on my friend's father's carpet at Thanksgiving dinner. That wasn't the best moment in the world.
So you went to a dinner for Thanksgiving and brought the dog you were dog sitting.
Because it was over the Thanksgiving break, because the couple was traveling out of town.
Got it.
They knew that I liked dog sitting, and I do. And it was a tradition. Like one Thanksgiving I had Buster, one Thanksgiving I had Paddington. And then the tradition was broken after that, because the dog was not housebroken.
I like dog sitting. It is nice. It's like you have the joy of a dog, but without like the kind of like the anxiety of like, I will have to do this every day for at least 15 years.
It's like being an uncle.
Yeah, it's nice. But this sounds like...
It's a bad dog.
Well, this life sounds pretty fucking rough too. It's like a poor college student living alone in an apartment with three animals. It's just not ideal.
Yeah, she has a cat, she has a dog, and now she's babysitting another dog. And now the dogs are fighting, she can't do anything about it. Can you take it back?
This is what's crazy to me. She is concerned about her friendship with this other person who adopted a 50-pound pit bull, chopped off its balls, and then left it at its friend's apartment at her friend's apartment while she went to her roommate to try to convince her roommate that they can keep the dog. This is a bad friend.
Yeah.
She should be worried about you staying friends with her. You are the victim.
I think you do need to have a heart-to-heart of, like, expressing your needs, expressing how you kind of feel railroaded in this situation, which I know is not what she's emphasizing in the email, yeah. But that's more the issue to me as well.
Totally. She's like, I feel so bad. How do I tell my friend that I don't want to watch the dog that's attacking my dog and destroying my apartment when she's the fucking owner?
This Hezabella is such a sweetie.
Yeah. She really is. Sweet to the core.
Good on you, Hezabella, for like taking all this on. You really have a servant's heart, and it's very clear how kind you are.
Yeah. That being said,
you're acting insane, Hezabella.
Yeah, stop being so crazy.
You're being mean to yourself and to your loved one, your friend, and you're hurting your chihuahua, your cat, the blinds.
That's what I always think about when I'm afraid that I'm going to like be mean to somebody. I think about, like, wait, but that person, like, by me being afraid of confronting this person, I am being mean to these other people or animals that are suffering because of that person's thoughtlessness.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're concerned about your friendship with your friend and, like, that's making you not talk to her, you should maybe just readjust to be like, I fear for my cat and for my puppy, for my little chihuahua. So if I want to be the best owner I can be, I need to get rid of this dog.
Yeah.
That doesn't make you a bad person. Yes. It's your children's fault.
Well, and part of the question was, how do I get rid of the dog? Wasn't that part of it?
Yeah. Can you sublet a sublet? Can you dog sit for you who's dog sitting?
Well, I was almost going to say, like, on a practical level, find like a kennel and like text your friend and say, hey, I literally can't do this. I'm going to put them up at this kennel. I hope you at least split it with me or something, like, or pay for all of it, because this is unlivable.
And that helps like temper your needing to talk to your friend too. You could say like, I can't do this, but I'll help you find a place for the dog, whether it's a kennel or like I'll post on Facebook or Craigslist.
What's also the duration of time that
she says? So he says, days, right? Staying with me until she can convince her roommate to let her have him at her place.
So what are the odds that this comes out before or after said period of time is over?
This is a great follow-up pup one.
Literally a pup.
Yeah.
So we ask, hey, how
We've
long do you end up?
We've been doing follow-up pups where we give advice and then like ask how it panned out,
great,
whether they followed it or not.
This is good. The message just came in 6 days ago, so it's topical. She might still have the dog that's ruining the life.
Or at the very least, we'll get to learn how, like, what happened.
Imagine, like, being this Hezabella who's like, so did you broach the whole having a dog thing? It's like, no, it hasn't come up yet. Can you, like, keep the dog for another week? I feel like I'm mustering up the courage. And then she's like, don't. You have to tell him now because the dog is destroying my entire apartment. And then this lady can't be like, I gotta have the dog in here now. It's a dog that's currently terrorizing my friend's place.
The other thing I would say is if they're like small like scuffs and stuff that you're concerned about with your apartment, your landlord won't take your full security deposit for stuff like that. The security deposit is like if you put your car through a wall or something. Like, you could go to Home Depot and just, like, touch up paint and stuff, and your landlord will never be the wiser.
Yeah, you'll be. I wouldn't worry about the landlord stuff so much. But I would worry, you know, especially because we don't know how timely this will be. I would really emphasize this as a moment to really take that friendship by the shoulders and just shake it and make sure everything's... I did have, like, a friendship sort of threatening dog-sitting relationship one time.
What happened?
Well, it was mostly my bad, because the dog, in retrospect, was a good boy, just kind of a puppy and not what I was used to. But the friendship in particular was loaded, where, like... It was this person that I was very close to for many, many years. She moves away and gets married. And then every time I've seen her since then, it's felt like I'm doing her a favor. Like, hey, can you shoot video at my wedding? Hey, can you dog sit for me? Which usually you would ask of like your closer friends. And I remember, you know, for a long time after that dog sitting scenario, I carried a little bit of hate in my heart for that person.
Yeah.
And then I had to let it go. So don't do that.
Wow.
Don't carry the hate.
Don't carry the hate. All right, cool. Let's take a break. Let's answer some more questions after these messages.
Woo!
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design mm-hmm. a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Anti-movement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't. But so it's more fitness, fitnessnah.com. Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
need. That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn, and I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. Congrats. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of it yours. Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money. And we're back. Kevin, do you have any?
Oh, it's a lesson in the fight. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. Oh, boy.
That's right.
Mom, I'm coming.
Oh, I guess I forgot. I forgot that part of it.
I'm giving that song in A minor. If anyone's asking,
you love it.
Yeah, you didn't like the guitar, but the sentiment's awesome.
A solid A minus.
You know what? This might be. You know what? I'll give two little bits because they're both kind of basic pieces of advice.
Two for one. I love it.
But I feel like they're not very insightful at all. And most of your listeners probably already know these things.
Okay. I love the wind up for this pitch.
Yeah, I have a lot of pre-greds going into this.
Pre-greds. That's good.
My first piece of advice is that on Instagram, the mute button is your best friend.
Okay, so tell me what the mute is versus unfollow.
Unfollow, people can find out if you unfollow them. They pretty easily. You can go to like if it's me that unfollowed someone, they could go to who they're following and then type in their username. And then they would
get
show
offended.
Up or not show up.
Okay.
Right.
If I mute them, they'll never know. And it's a good way to maintain polite relationships and kindness. And honestly, there's a lot of people that I wish I didn't follow that I love in real life that are dear friends.
So what are you mutant and how many people? Are you a mutant?
I'm not a mutant currently. Well, at this point, I feel like for people that I know personally, I don't think I can ever unfollow any of these people.
They're hard-baked into your life.
It will come up.
I think it'll come up. But muting, I can even do select, like seasonal muting.
Oh.
Like, I think seasonal muting, is fine.
A holiday muting.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, Holly just went on vacation. I think I'll mute this for the next few days.
Exactly, yeah.
So what are you muting? Are you muting the boring, basic cappuccinos, the sunsets? Are you muting, like, family? Life, like, I don't need to see your baby. What do you
Ooh, you know, sometimes I was honestly muting some of the best, because some of the best people on Instagram, because sometimes it's the thing we all do with comparison stuff and career stuff where it's like, oh, this person's killing it, this doesn't feel good.
Jealousy.
Like, it's no like personal, and you don't want to hate them or have like weird resentment that is definitely unearned against them.
So we're shooting a movie, so I'm gonna like be posting photos for the next 6 months.
Yeah, and I'll like them 6 months after the fact of you posting.
Right. That's my fear, is that I think if you, I feel like if I mute somebody, they'll miss my like. I guess that's really self aggrandizing.
That they'll notice you're not liking.
Yeah, they'll notice that I'm not liking photos. But I have been called out before for not liking someone's photos.
Whoa, who?
I don't want to say their name.
Oh, it's not like a friend that you feel comfortable
at a party. Right, they were like, you never like my photos.
Wow.
Oh no.
Yeah.
See, I
called you out too. They say like you comment but don't like a photo.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think that's inappropriate. I really do.
I want to comment. I don't necessarily like the photo.
Oh no, I'm saying the calling out, not what you're doing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think it's both inappropriate, frankly.
But actually, now I think it is.
Why can't I have comments?
This is another concern of mine.
Yeah.
I like my number of people I'm following to be kind of low. I feel like that's kind of like a power move.
Let's compare your number versus Kevin's.
I know what mine is almost to the exact number.
Kevin?
I think.
What are we thinking yours is?
I think mine is 998.
You're keeping it under 1,000.
I got to keep it under 1,000.
So when
997.
997.
Do you go through your whole feed? Or like, are so many of those people muted that it's easy?
Well, now at this point, because this is actually... This is something that I figured. There's certain people that follow me on Twitter that follow maybe like 3,000 plus people where they have not liked or retweeted or replied to anything I've said in so many years. I'm like, I have to be muted, right? But it still says blah, blah, blah follows you.
Right. But so, maybe if they follow 3,000 people, then you might just not go, they just might not go through their whole feed.
I think it's still up because I follow over 3,000 people. I still see everyone.
You see everything?
Yeah. It's awful. It's terrible. And I hate it.
I'm a slave to my own social media.
I am.
I think I follow like 50 people on Twitter.
I've said this before, but I do believe the mute is the gentleman's unfollow.
Oh, that's
nice. If ever cornered in such a situation. Because, yeah, you don't want to hurt someone's feelings.
No.
I do think, though, confrontation in real life is bizarre.
It really is.
It's not the same. If I wronged you, if I said something mean to you, I want to apologize. But if I didn't comment on a thing, I don't feel like that's fair.
Yeah.
It's like we're playing with Monopoly money on Instagram. And especially because people, I think too, people, and I don't know what the person is, the situation they were in, but people use Instagram for such different things that I think for some people, they almost see it more as like, I'm group texting all of my friends.
Yeah.
More so than like, I'm using this and I have like work friends that see this and my regular friends and my family. And some people are like, this is just for my career and I'm just plugging dates or whatever. Yeah. So I think not being on the same page with that stuff would lead to hurt feelings, but it's hard to relate with them when it does happen. Like, I saw you didn't see my story. I'm like, you scrolling through those?
And yeah, like what do you want out of like that kind of conversation? You know, like do you want me to they have to know that I'll apologize or make a joke and then talk shit about them for a long time and think that it was petty and weird.
We talk about it on a podcast. We're literally, you know, hundreds of thousands of people listening to it.
Millions, actually. How many people listen to this podcast? Is it billions?
Last episode was, 1.1 billion.
It's brought to you by billions on Showtime right now. Catch the new season. It's coming up.
I'm a big billions fan, actually.
Really?
That'll be my unsolicited advice next week.
What was your other bit of unsolicited advice?
Oh, gentlemen, keep a candle in the house, in the apartment.
Oh, that's
just
nice.
Just keep a candle there and light it all the time.
It smells nice.
Yes.
It smells good.
It smells are such a... There's so many things in life that are out of your control. I mean, not to make it too gendered, like men keep a candle versus women, because there's a bunch of smelly women out there.
Yeah.
But men in specific, maybe need a little work
stinkier.
On it.
Right.
There's so many things that are out of your control. You can... control the scent and flavor and the aroma of your apartment.
What scent are you going for? Yankee Doodle Candy birthday cake? Or are you going for a more classy Crate and Barrel cologne
smell? I try to do classy because to me, the sweeter ones end up smelling bad after a long enough
like
amount
an air
time.
Freshener.
Yeah,
like
it's, it feels like, and someone's like spraying it up your nose. So right now, I kind of have a compromise. I got oats and honey going.
That's nice.
At the house.
So I actually recently bought a candle. It was in a little blush box. It's called Boy Smells. And I got the one that was Redwood Tree.
Here's a question for you. Are you lighting it every day when you go home?
Yeah. Yeah. But I won't keep it lit all day.
Got it.
I'll blow it out when I leave.
A little bit.
That's another tip. Blow it out when you leave.
Living with a woman, we've got candles everywhere.
Are you guys public?
Oh, we're public.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They IPO'd. You can invest in their relationship.
Yeah, I can buy stock in that.
We got three candles in the house, at least.
And are they always gone, or you sort of forget about them?
I don't ever light them, but sometimes I'll come home, Jill's watching TV, and there's a candle going.
There's a nice candle going.
There's a candle going.
Come on in. Is it three different scents competing?
I don't really notice the scent. I don't know if I like... It's not like pine or...
Yeah.
Or lemon. I like, it's nothing that I can like pinpoint, but yeah, they are three different scents.
But your home smells lovely, and that's all that matters.
It does smell lovely.
Okay.
It's nice.
Great. So you associate that with your lovely wife, and maybe it's a good thing you don't even notice it because
it gives off a nice light.
Yeah.
It creates a great ambiance.
I like candles lit while watching movies in the dark. That's fun.
Yeah. You notice your two tips were to mute, basically blinding yourself, and then to light a candle, which is to increase your heightened sense of smell.
Right.
Mute, of course, means to not speak, which is another sense, if you think about it. And then your last tip is to
bring it home.
Numb your feelings.
Exactly.
I think you're overanalyzing this.
I don't think so, because
I'm muting the bad smells in my home.
And increasing the...
That's right.
All right, two good tips. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm good for at least two good tips.
That's good.
On my Patreon.
two good
Although
tips.
I think they're cracking down on that.
Do you have another lady's name? Oh, no, this is a dude's name. Dude's name is asking a question about his brother's girlfriend.
Oh, his name is Godfrey Filders.
Godfrey Filders writes, I'm in an impossibly upsetting situation.
Oh.
My brother's girlfriend is staying with me for a couple of months, having recently gotten a job in London. My brother, temporary, does
not live
in London.
So they're both in London.
Yes, but the brother does not live in London.
Okay.
So he's living with his brother's girlfriend.
Gotcha.
Every week, at least three of my ice cream cones go missing from the freezer, and I'm certain the girlfriend is stealing them. We made abundantly clear that food would not be shared. No one else lives in the apartment, and I'm sure I'm not that bad at counting. I politely asked her if she was eating them, and she laughed, exclaiming that she does not even like ice cream. To be sure, no ice cream has gone missing, but maybe she is just eating the cones. What? Also, she did not directly answer the question, and the vibe was strange. I swear to God, I saw a very subtle smirk. I asked again because it has to be her, and she just laughed and said, I was a funny one, whatever the fuck that means. The big problem is my boss is her dad, so I can't be too douchey about the whole thing. So what should I do? One, keep confronting her. Two, set up a sting operation. Three, mildly poison the cone. Four, snitch to her dad.
Wait, his boss is her dad.
That's right.
So it's kind of an In Good Company situation. Is that the movie?
Which one
Topher
is that?
Topher Grace, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone's
That is the premise of the movie. I don't know if it's called that, but
never seen it.
For the love that is all cone shaped and cream bearing, please help me. Thanks and peace. Love. What was his name?
Godfrey. It was Godfrey
Filders.
Godfrey Filders.
Filders. Yeah.
I can't believe he described the situation as impossibly sad.
Impossibly upsetting. There's an ice cream thief afoot.
I think it's very possibly setting. Godfrey, don't overreact.
Is he talking about ice cream cones that are frozen with ice cream already in it?
I'm confused, because if it's bare ice cream cones... That
in the freezer?
Those yeah, are, that's like that's stranger.
I think that's like from the ice cream man cones. You know, like those like
drumsticks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In which case, yeah, that's a more valuable steal.
And then he's saying every week three of them go missing, and then he says maybe she's eating the cones and not the ice cream because she doesn't like ice cream.
Okay, so it must be drumsticks then.
Yeah. but there's ice cream that goes all the way down to the cone, right? It's not an empty cone and then ice cream
not
on top.
Not in that drumstick. I mean, it'll melt ideally.
It's,
what you want,
it's
what
chocolate
you want is for it
the...
to melt and go down into the cone.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you're not making the cone yourself, oh man, I fucking miss ice cream.
I love waffle, but I'm no cone with ice cream stuff. When I go
really?
To Salt and Straw, when I go to Jenny's, no cone.
Why is that?
Because it overwhelms the cream. I feel like I just get like bready taste in my mouth.
See,
way more
it's not
so
a good
than
compliment.
Actual. I don't think so.
I like the cone, but I like a nice wafer.
So I'm trying to.
Sorry, can we get that again clean?
Sure. I like a nice wafer.
And that'll be a drop that I'll give a B minus to in the future. But so I'm trying to get myself in the head of a freak that just likes the cones by themselves. What's the question again? Are we trying to solve the mystery?
What should he
I
do?
I feel like more than anything, he just wanted to vent.
Basically, how about this? What would you do?
I would, what I would honestly do if I was in that situation and wanting to respect my brother and not feeling like the full need of like, this is my friend, I have to save the friendship. I would either, one, just take it and not do anything about it and just kind of like vent to strangers on a podcast about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or two, I would install a security camera.
A Nest cam.
In
a
like
ring.
A cabinet or like put it in the freezer if you can find one that can withstand that to see what's happening. Or three, I would just buy more of those drumsticks or whatever the ice cream cone is and be like, hey, I got some more because I know you probably have been liking them.
What about...
And just make the assumption...
But she said twice that she wasn't. Did you take it? No. You sure you didn't take it? You're funny. No.
No, I'm like, the funny
okay,
one.
Okay, I got some extra because I know you like it. What about doing that like blue exploding ink that they put in the bank bags?
Oh, here we go.
Yes.
So like you come home and she's just covered in this anthrax powder. And
right.
You're like, oh.
It's not anthrax. It's exploding ink.
Yeah, he's not trying to kill his future sister.
No. He did suggest mildly poisoning the ice cream.
Yeah, that was one of the options.
You could...
Don't do that, because your brother won't be happy.
You could just, like, sort of tag every single one. Just with, like, a 1, 2, 3, you know, you...
Like the hit movie.
A number, yeah. And then every time you have one, you just tally it, mark it off, and you're seeing if she's taking any.
Yeah, he's convinced that they're missing.
But then if I'm her, I see the numbers, I don't go for them.
Right. Well, that's a good little
security
thing.
But then I guess it's preventative more so than like solving the whodunit.
And if she does, but she will think you're insane. How expensive are these
things? He kind of is.
Yeah, there must be a dollar each, right? They can't be that expensive. Frozen ice cream.
Amir will
sticks.
Personally Venmo you the money to
that,
buy.
That's
more.
Missing. Yeah. Yeah, because not only is it the brother's girlfriend, it's also his boss's daughter. So he's got like two reasons to be extra.
Guys,
polite.
Are we thinking about this all wrong? Is it possible that this girl is getting the ice cream cones for her father?
Whoa.
A man who's too cowardly it's to request for them personally.
From his employee.
It goes straight to the top, don't you see?
It all connects.
To King Cone.
Kevin is staring at a wall full of newspaper clippings.
He's been working on this.
Yep, there's
a
red string going everywhere from
Mr. Softy down to London, a guy
from
to
ice
Dublin.
Cream to Cone.
From a marketing intern at Haagen-Dazs. Mm-hmm. This all goes to the top. All right.
Is there a PS that says, .. we're also Klondike Bar Bears?
no PS.
Okay. I'd like to do a follow-up on this one as well.
All right. Add it to the list. We got one last question if you got the time.
Ooh.
This one's called Mormon Cockblock.
Mormon Cockblock.
Yeah. What do you know about Mormonism? Because your podcast Good Christian Fun is good about Christian subculture.
It is. And that's more of the evangelical Protestant mainstream bent, more so than Mormonism.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of Mormon stuff other than there was like a Mormon missionary movie Anne Hathaway made in like the early 2000s.
That's all you got.
That's all I got. I don't know that. Like, are we're talking about the pop culture or just like the religion in general?
Both, I guess.
They're nice. Everyone I knew in high school who was a Mormon was very attractive and very, like, sincerely kind to me. That's my impression of Mormons is, like, they're very attractive, like Patrick Wilson and Angels in America, and they're very kind.
And I read Under the Banner of Heaven by John Krakauer, so my perspective on Mormons is that they are all child-marrying, bloodthirsty, crazy people.
Is that a novel or a non-fic?
It's a non-fic.
Okay.
It's great. It's a great book.
What's called Under the Blood Hammer?
Under the Banner of Heaven.
Oh. I don't know where
it is.
It is about
a bloody-ass murder.
I'm going through some stuff, guys.
And it's called Slimax. It's called the Slimax.
And it stars Slimer from Ghostbusters.
All right, here's the question.
Yes.
Sup, Jew boys. Here's the deal. I matched with a really beautiful girl on Tinder while I was home for New Year's, 14-hour drive from where I'm going to uni. We've been FaceTiming and texting a lot, and we both like each other a lot. After talking for a few months, she decided to spontaneously fly here to see me for the weekend.
Whoa.
A month later, a day before she was flying here, her very Mormon parents found out that she was coming here to see me and forbid her from coming. Consider my balls blue. She wants to keep talking and pretty much do long distance, but lives 14 hours away and we can't see each other for another 4 months. We don't live in the same province, and neither of us plan on moving anytime either. She's had a rough last year, and I don't want to hurt her by ending things, but at the same time, it doesn't seem practical for a couple of good-looking uni kids to enter into this long-distance relationship. So, do I keep talking to her for 4 months just to be able to see her for 2 months before coming back to school, or do I ghost her ass and continue my Tinder conquest? Advice would be hype. Thanks, love ya.
Well, I'd say no to ghosting.
Yeah, it's not an A or B multiple choice here.
What is the C? What's your go-to answer for this one?
It shouldn't be multiple choice. Okay, this is long form essay. That's what the podcast is.
These are people.
Yeah,
they have feelings.
So yeah, he doesn't want to be mean to her, but at the same time, he doesn't want to stay in a relationship with her if he's not going to see her for another 4 months, and he doesn't want to be like another reason for her to get even more sad.
This
than
is something that I don't like. People staying in relationships to not be mean to the person need to understand that staying in a relationship where you don't care about somebody is actually a really mean thing to do.
It's the meanest thing you can do. Yeah.
But it's secret mean, so she can still be happy while you're saying, yes, we're in a relationship, while you're also not technically in a relationship.
But we're talking about the option of two mean things. One, stringing her along, not actually caring about her just because you're afraid of hurting her, or B, really, really hurting her by ghosting her.
Yeah.
So there's the other option is being honest, which is like a little painful, but in the long run isn't like emotionally devastating.
So what would you say? What would you say to this lady to be honest and not emotionally devastating?
How old are these people, by the way?
40.
40, and her parents have said
uni.
No.
Uni.
Uni.
So
they're
19.
Uni age.
I'll say 19.
What's uni? Oh, university.
It's where you went when you were 15.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That thing I was at for like 2 years.
Yeah, no wonder her parents won't let her fly. She's 14.
Yeah,
years
she
old.
Can't drive. Yeah, I was going to go more towards Jake's area of like honesty now is better than lies forever or for like a long time and then a bunch of honesty later.
And sometimes we do advise lies forever. We've said that before.
That's
Lie
right.
Forever is the name of an episode.
He's basically going to go home again in the summer and see her. So should he say, I don't want to talk to you for another 4 months, or should he say,
no.
Hey, this is a little too weird for me right now.
I think
now.
It's a phone call.
Yeah.
It's always painful, and it's embarrassing, and it's sad. It's sad for both people, but I really do believe, like, and I've believed this a lot more recently in the last couple of years, that you can end things well, and it can feel great. Feel great to end things well, where it's like it's sad and even you're sad for a couple of days as the ender.
Right.
And obviously the ND, like whichever side of the equation you happen to be on. But what if you do it successfully, you can brag about it for a long time.
Yeah. Like, having a good breakup does feel amazing.
And it's a great sort of like, you know what? It was actually like, we just talked about it. It was sad, but you know, we were really mature about it and blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
blah.
Mm-hmm.
And how ahead of your time, ahead of your uni time, you would be to do that.
My goal is with breakups is always, it's okay for the person to be sad, but I don't want them to be mad at me. So they can't be mad at me because I'm being honest, but they can still be sad at me because it's the end of a relationship.
That's smart. That's smart.
And you tell that. You lead the breakup conversation with, you can't be mad at me. You can't be mad at me.
You can't be mad. And your emotions are invalid because you can't. I'm doing this by the books.
And as a man, you enjoy playing emotional boundaries.
Yeah, so I'll enter in relationships that I'm not necessarily into, quote unquote, just so I can end them later as a practice.
I give you way too much credit at the start of this.
And I will, on the way out, I'll sort of stub my toe and give the other party a look like they did that
to me. So you can be mad at them.
Yeah, and I'll be like, sorry, it's not entirely your fault. I'll say little things like that.
But why'd you get in bed with such hard edges?
Never mind, I know why.
You did it to hurt me.
Oh, man. I think, man, ending well in college story will be great for adult life.
End it well.
Yeah.
All right. Be honest. End it well. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Good Christian Fun before you have to head out of here?
Oh, and I got to head out of here, guys.
Oh, you got to get the fuck out.
I know. Good Christian Fun is a podcast on the HeadGum Network.
I've heard of it.
It is about Christian pop culture. If you grew up with Christian rock and movies and entertainment, talking DC Talk, Newsboys, Avalon, Point of Grace, Left Behind, God's Not Dead, all that stuff we talk about on the show with our comedian friends. Like former guests, HeadGum host Demi Adigewebe and Miel Bredo.
That's right.
And future guests, Jake Hurwitz and Amir Blumenthal.
I would love to go on and talk about my dueling Christian and Jewish upbringing.
We've never talked about this.
Yeah,
you had a dueling upbringing?
Sort of, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, all good fodder. Yeah, we always talk to the guests about like where they came from. They share their testimony and their history with faith and where they're at now.
Well, cool. Here's the thing. We did, when you were hosting Gilmore Guys.
Who cares? Gilmore Girls was the show.
Yeah, Gilmore Guys. We did an Entourage episode on April Fool's.
That's right.
So maybe we can episode on April Fool's.
Good Jewish fun. We've talked about doing like good atheist fun, good Jewish fun.
Yeah.
I would talk about atheist fun.
Good Mormon fun.
Man, we had so much fun doing that Entourage
episode. That was the best. 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to that.
Still rings in my head from that.
What?
Just keep your pants off, you little bitch.
What? I don't remember the context.
That was
of that
how
at all.
Amir ended the episode.
Jesus Christ. Go back and listen to that, everybody.
3 years ago.
Just keep your pants on, you little bitch.
No, off.
Off.
Of course.
Of course.
That was 2016 when it was fun to do performative misogyny.
It was different then.
It was.
Trump hadn't won yet.
Oh my gosh.
That was recorded the night he did win.
Oh, right. We were celebrating.
Yeah. That was how we were celebrating.
All right. No. So good Christian fun on HeadGum.com or wherever you listen to
podcasts. You don't got to be a Christian to listen to it. In fact, we prefer if you're not so we can convert you. Just kidding.
You said just kidding really quietly.
Are you just kidding?
All right. The opening theme song was written by Carson. And this closing one, I have to look up again because I lost it. I'm not as organized right now. I don't know why. It has to do with...
It's because you got rid of your hot corners, dude.
How many do you have in the bullpen waiting for like opening and closing themes?
We got some unused ones.
Hundreds?
No, not hundreds.
Okay.
Dozens.
What an amazing gift to have so much user-generated content.
Yeah, it's nice. They're way more talented than us.
Yeah,
and what a microcosm of how like the website industry works, like BuzzFeed or a Funny or Die.
We'll have the email. You guys do the work.
Yeah.
I found it.
Get exposure.
It's T. Lang did a parody of Bo Burnham's Bo-Yo. I'd like a shout-out, my girl Saskia, my brother for the city of Gothenburg, Sweden, and last and least, my Bandcamp, onsdag.bandcamp.com. It's decent at best and amazing at worst.
I love the phrase last and least.
That's why it's last.
Stan Lee's.
Kevin, thank you so much for stopping
by. Hey, thanks
by.
For having me, guys. Of course. This was so fun.
I'm glad you can come in today on such short notice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I finished my prayers early just to be here.
and we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Ciao.
I don't know if Jake and Amir are ghosts and gay, because every time they're talking, it feels like that scene from Ghosts with Clay. They're gonna help you, so you can leave it and drop it. Listen to the podcast with your phone in your pocket. And girl, if you're into women, it's only safe if you're swimming. But don't take next to a hard one, cause he's never been to some actual women. Sexually, I said, they'll help you sneeze to cheese. Flip feels like you're listening to old school junglies. They're gonna tear it up once every Monday. Sign up to the Patreon for Thursday, Funday. If you don't wanna listen, I'll defeat ya. Cause I'm a stone cold day one, and it's nice to meet ya. It's If I Were You, and it's the greatest show ever. Whether you think it's funny or not, it's a podcast that's hot. You're a bunch of coy divas that would really have you kill your eyes out. At a Starbucks.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.